maybe you've noticed the stairs, the groceries, everything that's not as easy as they used to be. And you're starting to wonder, what would it look like to get a little help? At Care.com, asking for support doesn't mean giving up independence. The right kind of help lets you stay in charge. Whether you know what kind of care you need or you're just starting to look, Care.com is here to help. You can find background-checked in-home caregivers who fit your budget, or explore senior living communities at your own pace. Read reviews, request tours, compare options. And if it all feels overwhelming, our senior care advisors, all master's-level social workers, can help you create a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
All right, people, welcome back to One Nation Radio. This is kind of a exclusive short edition because we had we're up against a time crunch the other night, and this was a topic that I did not want to miss talking about because we haven't talked about it in a while. There's been different stuff break, but I felt like this one kind of was another chapter in this thing to where I think we need to discuss this and the reaction around it and kind of what happened. But Janelle Grant gave her first public statements. She talked about 15 or 16 minutes in a press conference, and she was it was basically something called the Connecticut Alliance to End Sexual Violence. And she ended up unveiling, you know, a host of things, kind of like the major things being like, you know, her the personal impact of the NDAs on her and her experience. She basically also unveiled that WWE representatives like contacted her, asking her to issue a joint public statement that described her relationship with Vince McMahon as consensual. And according to her, WWE suggested that they might be willing to provide additional money in exchange for her participation, but she refused that. She also noted about the storylines that were going on with Liv Morgan, Dom Mysterio, and the Judgment Day, you know, were basically made to kind of reference her real life situation. And at the time, people were getting told that they were crazy for pointing this out and all this stuff. And, you know, you just look at the situations like the, you know, what we saw with Vince McMahon showing, you know, all the text messages, people around staff, you know, going, pretty much the same thing happened there. And this is far after he's out of creative. This is like, this is the new people that are around, you know, giving this the A-OK and all this. They basically, she also said about the FBI and the Security Exchange Commission, the SEC, they're involved in this. And the FBI is classifying part of this as a covert human trafficking investigation. She spent a lot of significant personal funds to participate in, you know, the WWE internal investigation, which we know was bullshit and also ended without her ever being interviewed. She talked about the current culture. Basically, if Vince goes, everyone else is still there. This is something that I think a lot of us have pointed out. Yeah. And WWE is kind of, you know, obviously Vince's consistently denied all this stuff, and the world's worst people who should crawl back into a manhole have attacked this woman. And, you know, I just hate this entire thing for several reasons. It's just like, it's taken her this long to say something, and people couldn't really give her the decency to kind of just like allow her story to be told in a way. And it's not like this case has gone away. Like, this thing's still open.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you talked about it, when we talked about this back then, is like the way that they built this narrative that, you know, especially in that Netflix documentary, was that, you know, Vince, once Vince is gone, bad man gone, they have toppled the dictator, and and this is no longer a dictatorship or, you know, evil regime. And it's like, no, all the lieutenants and people that were still in positions that knew about this stuff, as you mentioned, looped in with the text messages, had adjacent offices with sharing walls while there was noise being made in these offices while these sexual things were going on. Just mum's the word. Shout out Triple H. So, this is another example of like the media cycle of news and what can happen when, you know, these institutions that have money can stall these things out. So the news breaks. They get rid of the main culprit, the people that conspired to hide this, pretend like they didn't know, still know, have climbed up the empty void in the power vacuum, and they should be gone, but they're still there. And time has gone on, and Janelle Grant has gone through the ringer of deciding whether or not to come forth, and she ultimately has. But the time is the time, and the media cycle and attention span is what it is. And so for a lot of people, people's empathy only goes as far as the first time they read a headline. And then when it's a headline years later, it's, we're already over this, we already knew all this stuff. It's like, no, you didn't. Because you haven't heard from the victim. You haven't heard her story in full. So, this is a tiring news cycle, and the internet has made us less empathetic as human beings, and it fucking sucks. And that's a byproduct of all of this. This is one of many stories of this happening, but look no further than, you know, WWE's homeboys, the Trump administration, to show you how this works.
So trigger warning. So I'm going to like get into like some of her like specific comments here. If you guys need to, prepare yourselves here. So she basically said that, you know, she was about to be at her new job in front of her new bosses, and she got a call that the Wall Street Journal article was going to break. And, you know, her and Vince McMahon signed a non-disclosure agreement. She was told if anybody asked her about this, she couldn't make a comment. She can't acknowledge it. She can't say she's not okay. If anybody approached her, she can't acknowledge years of her life to anybody who saw it. She said she blacked out and ended up in a closet with a belt and stool under a metal rod. She thanked God somebody saw her and stopped it. She said workplace safety depends on transparency. When employees cannot speak, patterns cannot be seen. When patterns cannot be seen, they can't be stopped. When they can't be stopped, harm spreads. The NDAs are used to conceal dangerous behaviors. It simply relocates the harm to the next employee. James, I remember us talking at the time, and I kind of said that this thing is a system designed to run like a person down and then slide the next person into that role to keep that same system going.
Yeah.
She seems to kind of be saying the same thing right there. The next office, the next victim. No one should be required to trade silence for accountability, and no workplace should be safer for the institution than the people inside. She said she's watched her life play out from a window, and she's only went outside 10 times due to the level of threat. And if you look at the mutants that exist online, I totally believe her. She basically talked about the coercion. She's talked about the continuous patterns of behavior that are intended to exert power and control over survivors. You know, and she said, you know, there's a lot of people living and working in fear in Connecticut, basically saying that's a huge state, like, that ties up with these NDA things, and they do business in Connecticut kind of for a reason, and bring all their lawsuits and everything to Connecticut.
It's because they're in Stanford, and because Connecticut is a much smaller state than New York, like they get preferable treatment. Like most big businesses do that aren't in major metropolitan areas.
Yeah. So she said that also, you know, the company reached out and requested that she make a joint statement that this was a consensual relationship, and they wanted to know this to the extent that she needed or wanted something, aka more money on the table. She refused, as I mentioned. She basically said leaving out one half of an experiencing party on a decision like that is not consent. And so many people have had a problem with the idea of consent, as you mentioned, all the way up to the sitting president. She said that summer she spent six figures to participate in their investigation on legal retainers and medical care that saved her life. I preserved my evidence. I believe I would be interviewed for this investigation and would get my life back. Then the feds reached out ahead of speaking with me. I was onboarding a new legal team. We gave them my evidence and said to review it in advance based on that objective review of hard evidence, communication with people across the company, including leadership then and now, that this was a covert investigation into human trafficking and the criminal misconduct of WWE, Vince McMahon, in this NDA. She said the feds requested that she say nothing and this will be covert while they investigated. And from there, the company paid for her participation in the investigation. She was out six figures. If anyone postures like this isn't serious, they spent serious money on it. I wonder where that exists in their books. There should be a money trail here, you would think.
Yeah.
She basically said it to the board of TKO, if you didn't know part of your origin story, now you know. I hope you'll have conversations with us. I hope you'll have these conversations amongst yourselves and don't rely on old instincts with new hindsight or new insight. Leadership perhaps means stepping into the unknown, listening and discussing things, even when they're hard. When I watched that video, it was just like surreal in a sense, just to hear. Like, obviously, we've seen the pictures of her, but she, for the longest time, she's kind of just existed as this almost like a myth that happened because
not a real person,
right? Like, and then when you see a name, you see the face, you see the person saying this stuff and kind of just speaking plainly about it and looking like she's gone through immense amounts of therapy to be able to even get up there mm-hmm. and say this stuff,
to be able to process all this stuff. Yeah,
it's like, oh shit, this almost feels realer in a sense than it already had in my case. As you mentioned, there are plenty of people begging not to take this seriously or begging that she just go away. And I saw idiots listing off things she allegedly accepted. They're just making this shit up out of thin air.
It's easy to do that. It's easy to do that when you hate victims or you hate women.
Yeah.
You hate yourself.
or you love the Fed.
I would also categorize that at this point given the year that they've had, that's also a part of self-loathing too. You hating yourself is you loving the Fed.
Yeah. It just seems like
you gotta pretend like you enjoy these shows of late, brother. Anyway, back to the real shit.
Yeah. Almost hit the bang bang so on that, but I'm gonna let that slide.
I don't think this is appropriate. I don't think this is the appropriate clip for Bang Bang's Ricky Sosa. I don't think so. No.
But for me, just seeing it felt way more real. And then it was like, okay, like I want the button to be pressed on whatever this trial is at the time, and I want these people to have to address this stuff. And then mm-hmm. you know, whether they got a CTC. Cut the check, or you know, anything else happens.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something people should be aware of. This is something that people shouldn't shrug off like it's nothing. This is a collection of information that outs these people as absolute monsters. And unfortunately, this is who a lot of these people have chosen to love. So, the Vince McMahon stuff, like, we've packed and rolled and smoked Vince in millions of ways before this even ever existed, right? But they dropped a videotape of Vince like speeding on the same day that Hulk Hogan died, and that big crash and all that. And all I thought was Kobe Bryant, job not finished. Like this is, I don't know, man. Like, I feel very bad for Janelle Grant, and I feel bad for, because the thing about it, the way that Janelle Grant thinks, she's not the only person.
Right. That's the thing about this is there were multiple NDAs at the time. Janelle Grant happened to be the one that we got a name of. So who knows what this other, who the other people were involved in, and what happened to them. Could be the same, could be worse. We don't know. But, you know, as you mentioned, like, we've heard her name. People have speculated on what she looks like. People have pictures of her, and then she comes forward, and like, this is the reason why victims don't come forward. Like, they stop becoming, they stop becoming a human, and they become like a, almost like a farm animal, like a animal in the zoo, and people are just, you know.
They're just showing up for the show, kind of.
Like. Yeah, they're showing up for the show, and they're looking at them in these ways where it's like, this is very dehumanizing, along with what they've already suffered. This is why people don't come forward.
Yeah, man. I just feel really bad about all this. And I just hope not only Janelle Grant gets her justice, but as you mentioned, like all the others that are out there. And it's going to take.
And this is beyond just, you know, we don't like Vince McMahon's pro wrestling version or his version of vision of pro wrestling. This goes beyond this. This is like, hey, man, this happens. This has happened in a bunch of different walks of life. And it's happened so much where we have to, at some point, look around and be like, are these things that we enjoy, these institutions, are they worth it to still exist at the cost of that kind of level of human suffering?
Yeah.
Like, at least, if your decision is you still rock with it, I don't have a line of thinking I'm morally better than you are, I'm going to disagree necessarily, but I'm saying, like, at some point, When does that come to mind when you think about it?
Like, at some point, you might gotta explain that at some point.
At some point, when are you gonna come to, are you gonna think about that? Like actually think about the bad along with the good of the things you consume.
Yeah.
And that's in all media, of course, but in this particular thing, a lot of people, because it's so low stakes, they definitely don't wanna ever think about that kind of stuff with their fake fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like a very sad situation, and I just hate how the people are just treating her, and it's just quite disgusting, and I feel no sympathy for any of these people that just continue to act like monsters. Y'all could just watch and not say anything. You could just like...
You could shut the fuck up. Like Rich said.
Like, there's always that option. Like, like say
it costs you nothing to shut the fuck up.
Like...
In because these regards.
Because the thing is, it's like, all right, whatever happened between them, right? You don't have to jump your dumb ass out there to basically be like, nah, this is how this actually went. It was like...
I mean, as you said, when at times we packed up Vince McMahon to people, Vince McMahon is not your father, and WWE is not your granddaddy's house.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, towards the end of this whole thing, you know, she was basically like talking. But I'm looking at my notes right here. Vince is basically like talking about moving this thing to arbitration. So they're trying to get it privatized based on whatever the NDAs are, and they're arguing that the NDAs and the arbitration clause should govern that whole thing. They want this thing completely out of court altogether. And, you know, WWE has been radio silent on this. So, you know, at this time, it would help to have, you know, press conferences or anything like that. But wait, those don't exist anymore. It would help to have a wrestling media that would challenge WWE or ask questions about this stuff or comments or quotes. Yeah. And I'm talking all across the board. But no, we'd much rather, you know, being video game content with them and everything like that.
Yeah. There's also this part where, like, look, man, the Washington Post just laid off the entire sport or significant chunks of the sports staff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you, like I said, with the Washington Post, and their sports section just basically going kaput. Like, you have these places where journalism and the resources around journalism, like the constraints keep getting lower and lower and lower because, you know, you have, quite frankly, you have billionaires acquiring these things and they want to move in silence. And you can have Jeff Bezos buy the Washington Post a long time ago and then keep, you know, the capitalistic churn. We want to monetize everything, want to maximize everything. And quite frankly, the free press is exactly that, the free press. And as they use that as an excuse to start, you know, gutting important parts of these media outlets, then you end up getting the hollow one out of journalism. And then that trickles down even to something as lowly as pro wrestling media.
Yeah.
Right. So all of this isn't just a microcosm of what's happening just in general.
Like honestly, there's no real incentive. Because
we can do this all the time with like how you know, NBA media is. We can talk about that. You know, mm-hmm. we what Pablo Torre has done over the last year and change exposing things, because like why doesn't Shams have all this stuff about the Clippers? You know?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say there's no real incentive for wrestling media to really go that direction, because this isn't a story that's going to drive a bunch of clicks. This isn't what WWE fans are going to be wanting to hear. They'll just ignore that shit. Like, and it's like, if the WWE fan base is the largest fan base there is, if you're counting on, look, I don't give a fuck who clicks like our stuff or not based on whatever we drop. It's just, we're dropping the shit, we're showing up for us and what the fuck we want to talk about, and that's the freedom that we have. But all these different, you know, media outlets, they have different masters to serve that aren't necessarily beneficial for digging into the Janelle Grant case. So the independent journalists within wrestling appreciate these people.
Yeah. Another perfect example is like how you took on Twitter, like you mentioned to Meltzer, like, you know, when he was talking about the, you know, how should AEW go about the fuck Ice Chance or whatever. I was like, all right, man, like you saying this, like there's not like a like you're saying that these things are political, and it's like, sure, they are. However, look what the other side is doing. Like, this is not, this isn't a fair analysis or take on this compared to how you handle WWE.
Yeah.
But at this point, he's really doing the rhetorical thing of like, he already knows how WWE is handling it, so he's not even going to bother putting breath to that. And it's like, nah, man, you need to say that on the front end, because not everybody has the lore of what's going on in that way. Like, this story has broken the container, and someone's going to come across Dave Meltzer saying that, and they're not going to have the context that we have, that we know that he's like, yeah, we know that goes without saying, but no, you need to say it because someone else is going to be watching this, right? Like, last week tonight, when they covered that, like, if they're going to go to Dave Meltzer and they say, read that, they're going to be like, why would we listen to him? He sounds like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the biggest fucking person in this genre of media.
Yeah. So I'm sure you'll hear more audio coming out of Social Suplex in the next two or so weeks on this. I did just want to talk about this and drop it up on YouTube for you know, people to discuss in the comments and you know, everything surrounding this. And even people that happened to click on this because they were looking for things to disagree with on this, right? I hope you disagree. I hope you find courage within yourself, and I hope you find empathy, and I hope you find a father, you know, and among other things. So,
or a therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so that's all I really got, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm recording on my end. You were obviously recording the video of this. I don't know what you want to do, how you want to sign off on this. You tell me how you want to handle it.
awkward. I'll chop it off. Pause.